It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. We've got some scary stuff for you today, two programs that I think you'll enjoy. We're going to start off with The Shadow, and the program is called The Old People, and it's from 1938.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Shadow Adventure starts in just a moment. And as usual, it is packed with hair-raising thrills. But none can compare with the thrill and relief that comes from being saved by a Silvertown stop in wet-weather driving emergencies. What you need between your car and rain-drenched pavements are the new Goodrich Safety Silvertown tires with the Lifesaver Tread. This truly amazing tread actually dries wet roads, protects you against that hazard zone of motoring where a slippery film of water on the road may make complete control of your car almost impossible. That's because the never-ending spiral bars of the Lifesaver Tread act like a battery of windshield wipers. They sweep the water right and left, force it out through deep drainage grooves, make a dry track for the rubber to grip. For safety's sake, make your next tires Goodrich Safety Silvertown. The Shadow, Lamont Cranston, a man of wealth, a student of science, and a master of other people's minds, devotes his life to righting wrongs, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. Cranston is known to the underworld as The Shadow. Never seen, only heard, his true identity is known only to his constant friend and aide, Margot Lane. Today's story, The Old People.
Argentine, Flight D-8 calling. Argentine, Flight D-8 calling.
Go ahead, D-8.
Position approximately 80 miles southeast, headwaters of the Amazon. Flying 9,000 feet, visibility good. Airspeed 210, next report at 4:30. Next report at 4:30, that is all.
Calling Argentine, Flight D-8. Calling Argentine, Flight D-8. What's the matter, D-8? Can you hear us? Can you hear us, D-8? Your 4:30 report, half an hour overdue, D-8. Can you hear us, D-8? Calling Argentine Flight D-8.
Second airliner disappears in South America. Second airliner disappears in South America. Get it checked.
Now, gentlemen, if you please. In spite of the disappearance of two planes, D-7 and D-8, as superintendent of this airline, I insist that every effort must be made to establish air contact with South America at once. Consequently, I am sending one more plane to the Argentine in the hope that it will succeed where the D-7 and the D-8 failed.
Lamont, are you still craning over those maps? What are you doing, brushing up on your geography?
In a sense, yes, Margot.
And what country interests you now?
Not a country, Margot, a continent. South America.
Oh, Those Argentine planes that disappeared, you're thinking of them.
Exactly. There's something very unusual about their disappearance.
What do you think happened to them?
It isn't probable that three planes, manned by the finest pilots in the world and flying over a well-marked course, should disappear unless they were made to disappear.
Made to disappear?
Exactly. I'm convinced something other than natural causes made them disappear.
But what?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Possible they received some message over their radios that took them off their course. Caused their disappearance.
But how will you find out for sure?
By following the course of the three planes that disappeared.
You mean go to South America?
Exactly. I'm going to persuade the airlines to send through one more plane for the particular convenience of the Shadow.
So you're planning to go down the Amazon River?
Yes, I'm going to pay a call on Superintendent McWade of the airlines and persuade him to send one more plane through to the Argentine. I, as the Shadow, will be its sole passenger.
Oh, no, you're wrong, Lamont.
Wrong?
Yes. You and I will be its sole passengers.
Look here, Superintendent McWade. Let me fly a plane down to the Argentine and try to find those planes that disappeared.
I'm sorry, Jack. We cancel all South American flights.
Yeah, but Terry Kane, the pilot on the D-9, he was my best friend. I've got to have a crack at finding him.
No, Jack. We're not going to risk any more planes disappearing. Three are enough.
Why don't you let him have a try at it, Superintendent?
Well, who are you?
I am the Shadow.
The Shadow? But where are you?
As my name implies, Mr. McWade, I'm in the shadows. Right here in this room.
Well, I don't understand.
It's really quite simple. I've merely cast a cloud over your perceptions so that you're unable to see me.
Say, I remember. You're that fellow that no one ever sees.
I'm flattered that you know of me, pilot.
Yes, but what do you want here?
I've come to help you find those missing planes.
How?
Superintendent McWade, I want you to permit the plane that was to have taken off for the Argentine tonight to leave on schedule.
Well, that's out of the question. We've officially discontinued our South American service.
Then restore the service unofficially for tonight.
Why not, Superintendent? Maybe the Shadow knows something. I'll take a chance on flying them down.
I appreciate your cooperation, pilot. Mr. McWade, I guarantee I'll clear up the mystery of the missing planes within 48 hours. If you will do as I say, have a plane ready to take off tonight at the scheduled hour. A woman will board it.
A woman?
Yes.
Well, who is she?
I cannot tell you that. You must make no attempt to discover her identity.
All right, but how will we know her?
She will be wearing a long coat with a collar turned up around her face. She'll go right to the plane and board it.
You're coming along, too.
Oh, certainly, pilot. I shall be hiding in the rear of the plane. The baggage compartment, probably. I want your promise that you will make no attempt to try and find out who I am.
All right. I promise. But what's the idea?
Just that I am the Shadow. And the Shadow can only be heard, but never seen.
Margot, keep your collar up. The pilot can't see you.
It's turned up, Lamont.
Just passed over the headwaters of the Amazon. Whatever's going to happen should happen soon. Tell the pilot to watch his course carefully from now on.
All right, Lamont.
Tell him to hold onto the radio beam, to be sure to report any variation in that beam to me at once. I'm expecting an invitation to our fate, and when it comes, we're going to accept it.
Look! Look, Imperatore! He makes a young American old like us!
Imperatore, he is a great man.
Young American, he cry like baby.
Imperatore, hate all young people.
No, 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 don't, you fiend. Get away.
Get away.
No good screaming. Nobody can hear you down here by the Amazon now. No American ever come by the South American jungle unless I, Anton Freeman, make him come here. Like I make you come here in your aeroplane.
Call off these, whatever they are. Call them off.
I am clever, huh? I build radio station. I send you radio beam signals. I take you off your course. I bring you here to my laboratory cave so you are lost to the world.
Let me up! Let me up!
Fine pigs! Hold him to the table! Hold him down!
Let me go!
Now,
go.
I do my experiment.
What are you going to do?
I make you very old.
You what?
Yeah, maybe 90 years. Maybe 100 year old. Then you'd be older than Anton Freeman.
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Always around me to our young people. They laugh at me because I am old. So now, I make you old.
No!
Older than me!
Then I look at you.
Call me!
And I say to myself, Anton, you are a very young man. Fierce man, older than you.
No, no!
Come, it is time for the experiment.
Get away from me! Get away!
I make you very old. Twisted old man. Yeah. I make you very old man.
What are you going to do to me? What is that serum you're giving me?
It is the serum to make you very old.
Oh, my body. Oh, what's happened to it?
It is becoming twisted and bent. Like an old tree that lives too long.
Oh, my voice. What's happening to my voice?
It is old. Like rusty shutters that go creak in the wind.
I can't breathe. I'm suffocating.
No, you are old man. It is hard for old men to breathe. Yeah, you are very old. Now I, Anton Freeman, am young man, and you are old, very old.
Imperatorio!
Hey, what is it, old pig?
On the radio, we heard another airplane is coming.
Ah, more people come fly over me, huh?
Yeah.
That is good. I need more young American for experiment. Come. I go send out the radio beam to bring the American here. I trick them come here. They think they listen to radio beam from the Argentine. But they listen to the radio beam I, Anton Freeman, send out to bring them here. Come. We get more American down from sky for my experiment.
Ladies and gentlemen, while you're waiting for the climax to the Shadow's exciting story, let me ask you one or two very important questions. Are your tires safe? Have you ever experienced that sickening feeling that comes when a car skids out of control? Do you realize the havoc that one blowout can play with life, limb, and pocketbook?
The Shadow knows. It may take just one skid, just one blowout to end your driving days for good. Yes. Riding on flimsy, unsafe tires is a mighty big gamble. You may win, but suppose you lose, don't gamble.
Have your car equipped with those amazing new Goodrich Silver Towns, because this new kind of tire has what it takes to keep you and your family off the accident list. Inside, it has the famous Golden Ply blowout protection that has already saved thousands of motorists' lives. Outside, every new Silvertown has the sensational lifesaver tread that gives you the greatest skid protection, the quickest, safest wet road stops you've ever had in all your driving days. Yes, the new Goodrich Safety Silvertown is really two great tires in one, but it costs you nothing extra, not a penny. Why guess about the condition of your tires? For safety's sake, ride on Goodrich Safety Silvertown.
We're 110 miles southeast of the Amazon headwaters now, Shadow.
Then our mysterious friend should be sending us a radio message soon.
Say, something's happening to the radio beam.
The radio beam?
Yeah, it's become stronger all of a sudden.
So, that's how our unknown friend sends us our invitation. By radio beam. All right, pilot. We accept his invitation. Follow the beam signal he's sending.
Yes, Shadow.
Better start down now.
Okay. Hope I can find a dime to land on.
Look, down there.
I thought so. The three planes have disappeared.
Say, my hat's off to you, Shadow. You sure picked the spot.
Plenty of room to land, isn't there, pilot?
Well, not as much as I'd like. Here we go.
Nice landing, pilot.
Oh, thank you, lady. Holy smokes. Look out that window.
Look at them. Dozens of tottering old men and women.
Hey, that one there, I know that face. That's the face of Terry Kane, an old buddy of mine.
Are you sure?
Sure, I'd know his face anywhere, only what's happened to him? He was 6 feet four, and now he's little. His features are all shrunken up. Why, Terry couldn't have been more than 30, but now look at him. Why, he's old as Methuselah.
All these men and women, all of them must have been transformed into bent, broken old wretches by some monster.
They're breaking into the plane.
Hey, I'm going to try to take off.
No. Got to find out what's behind all this. Open the door. Let's go out and face them.
Hey, it's all right for you to talk, Shadow. You hanging back in the shadows where no one can find you.
My power to throw a cloud over the senses and remain unseen will save you from the same fate and repel these other people. Go ahead. Open the door. I'll be with you.
Hey, quit pulling us, you mangy old geezers.
Hey, pretty lady. Nice lady. Me take her.
Hey, that's Terry. Hey, Terry, don't you remember me? Terry!
Young American. Imperator, make you old. Older than me. Than me. Terry have pretty lady.
Terry, Terry, you remember me. Terry!
Young American, you pig. Come, we show American how much we hate young men.
Hey, Terry. Terry, call these guys off. Get off of me, you warts. Shadow. Shadow, call them off, will you? They're swarming all over me. Get them off, I tell you.
Get away, all
of
you. Get away. Get them off. Get away.
Oh, your voice is frightening. They don't understand where it's coming
from. Get away, all of you. Get away.
Say, it's a good thing you scared them off, Shadow. They were biting and pecking at me like a bunch of toothless mosquitoes.
Little animals. Their bodies and brains and souls have all been shrunk out of them.
Fine pigs!
Who's that?
That must be the gentleman known as Imperatore.
I say, he's only a half pint himself.
A dwarf?
No, he's just an undersized man. Must be around 50.
Fine pigs! I tell you, bring the American to me! Now I must get them myself. Ah, my American friends. You come see me, Anton Freeman.
Now look here, you.
Keep quiet. First, I talk with pretty lady here. Long time since I seen such fine white skin. Very long time.
Oh, don't touch me.
Ah, you are like other American ladies, huh? You do not like me because I am not young, huh? Because maybe you like this big pilot, huh? Because he is young, huh? All right, I make him old. Older than me with mine serum. You see then what great man Anton Freeman is. Yeah, very great man. Maybe then you would like me more than him. Come, swine, speaks! Bring the Americans to the laboratory. Throw the American on the table.
Oh, no, you devils can't do this to me. Let me up.
Look at these useless struggles.
Let me up.
The young American. Even a young American can do nothing against all the bent-over old men.
Where's your great friend, the Shadow, now, lady? I thought he was going to make everything all right.
Like Gulliver in the land of the Lilliputians, eh, Dr. Freeman?
Hey, who? Who says that?
I know the Shadow wouldn't fail us, pilot.
Our friend the pilot is like Gulliver in the land of Lilliput, eh? Small old men swarming over him and fastening him down.
Well, who are you? Why, I cannot see you.
Because I am hiding in the shadows, Dr. Freeman. You see, I hate youth and its taunts. I am afraid of growing old, too, Dr. Freeman.
Ah, you are old and bent, too, huh?
Yes, so I learned to live in the shadows, away from human eyes, to conceal my age. Ah, but what I would give for a serum like yours, to avenge myself for the scorn of robust young people by making them older than I am.
Ah, you know about my serum,
yes, huh? And I know how you can shrink the bodies of these people you make old, as primitive people used to shrink the heads and bodies of corpses. You're a brilliant scientist, Dr. Freeman.
Yeah, all by myself I found the serum. Here in the jungle, away from where there are young people. Ah, but they find me here too, those young ones.
With the aeroplanes.
Yeah, they come flying over me here.
So you installed a radio transmitter and sent out radio signals, tricking the planes into flying here, and getting lost. So they'd have to make forced landings.
Yeah, that is right. And when they landed, I captured the people inside of them and made them into old, bent creatures like you see here.
Can they ever be restored to what they were?
Never, never.
Aren't you afraid they might turn on you, these hideous wretches?
Oh, no, no. You see that switch on the wall? I only have to unlock it with this key and I wear on my belt. I turn the switch on, I escape, and in a minute, I have turned a dynamite destroys the old people.
Brilliant, Doctor, brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. I show you now with the pilot how brilliant I am.
Hey, get away from me!
Dr. Freeman, so brilliant a scientist as yourself must have other medical wonders he's discovered.
Ah, yeah. Still another serum I have.
Another serum? To do what, Doctor?
A serum to make little men big.
To make little men big?
Yeah.
What effect would your serum have on these old people, Dr. Freeman?
It would make them stupid monsters because they have no brains. Now, Ethan.
Dr. Freeman, have you ever thought of using that serum on yourself?
On myself?
You could make yourself tall and big. Taller than any young man.
Taller than a young man?
Dr. Freeman, think. Supposing you were to take the serum yourself, making yourself tall and strong.
Yeah?
And then, supposing you transformed all your old creatures into monsters. Why, with your brains and their strength, you could conquer the world.
Yeah, you are right.
Think. The tall and handsome Dr. Freeman.
Yeah.
Able to conquer the world.
Yeah.
Think of it. Come. Try it.
Yeah, but can I give the serum to myself?
A great surgeon like yourself can accomplish any miracle, Dr. Freeman, even to giving yourself an injection of the serum.
Ah, you are right. It is right in this bottle
here. There's a mirror on the wall. Stand before it and give yourself the injection.
Yeah, but...
Think. Master of the world, Dr. Freeman.
Yeah.
Certainly that's worth any effort. A little pain.
Oh, yeah, you are right. I will do it.
How do you start?
I show you. I fill this glass tube with the serum. Oh, no, I cannot do this.
Come. There's no time to hesitate. The whole destiny of the world is in your hands. Master of the universe.
Yeah, I will do it.
Now what?
I inject the serum.
I am, you see, I am growing, you see.
Mother McCree, the guy's growing like a balloon blowing up.
You see, man in the shadows, I am growing.
Yes. Yes, I see, Anton Freeman. Your body is growing, but your mind, is it growing too?
Yeah. The inside, my head, it feel like it get big. Like great big rubber ball inside vacuum.
Yes, Dr. Freeman, a good description. A great rubber ball inside a vacuum. You forgot that your serum to enlarge the body would enlarge every organ of your body, even your brain.
Yeah, I will even be greater genius.
No, your genius will shrink and disappear. You can enlarge the brain, Dr. Freeman, but you can't enlarge the matter that makes for intelligence. The larger your brain gets, the smaller your ratio of intelligence. You're becoming a stupid, heartless, brainless monster, like your wretched creations.
No, I will show you.
Margot, quickly. You and the pilot get to the plane, get ready for the takeoff.
But what about you, Lamont?
I'll join you as soon as this monster's destroyed himself. Hurry. Well, Dr. Freeman, your serum works, doesn't it? You're tall now, 7 feet, maybe more. But you're stupid.
I will kill you, man in the shadows.
I doubt that. You're too stupid to defend yourself now, even against your old people.
You forget the dynamite. I will turn the switch, blow them and you to pieces. That is it. I will blow them up and you. First, I unlock the switch.
Get away from that switch, Freeman.
The man in the shadows... He is afraid, huh? Dr. Freeman, he's not afraid. Dynamite cannot hurt great big Dr. Freeman. See, already more than 7 feet I am. Now I turn the switch.
Take your hand off that switch.
Make me take it off. You think you can make giant Dr. Friedman do anything?
Very well, I will make you take your hand off it. Take off your hand from that switch.
Ah, there you are. Now I feel you.
Let go of me.
Dr. Freeman, find where you are.
Let go of my arm.
You come to take my hand off the switch that show me where you are. Now the great Dr. Freeman, he even can kill someone he cannot see.
Let go of me.
Now I turn the switch that set off the dynamite. There, Shadow. In exactly 2 minutes, all people, They all explode.
You'll die too if that dynamite goes off.
No. The great Dr. Freeman, he lived even against dynamite. Shadow lied to Dr. Freeman. You are big men, young too, huh? I feel how big you are, but not so big as me. I can crush you like a paper box.
Come on, what's he doing to you?
He's located me by touching me. Oh. Now he's crushing me in his arms. I can't hold up to him much longer.
Pretty lady, Terry like pretty lady.
Margo, get to the plane and leave at once. That dynamite will be going off soon.
Terry, you like me?
Terry like pretty lady very much.
I like you, too, if you'll do something for me.
Yeah, I'd do anything for pretty lady.
Then you and your friends let the American alone and attack the Imperatore.
Oh, Imperatore, too great.
No, he's just a big, stupid man now. Look at him. He's making himself large so he can destroy
you. No.
Don't try to save me, Margaret. Don't. Save yourself before that
diamond! Then get rid of the Imperatore, Terry. Get rid of Anton Freeman.
And then you like Terry?
Yes, very much.
All right, we do it. We will attack Dr. Freeman. Hey, look, no more is Imperatore, old man. He's a big man now, so he can hurt us. Come with your Imperatore. He can't hurt us. Come! Come, we show Imperatore how much we hate him. Come on!
Hey, Chris! Bite me! Stop biting me! Stop biting me!
Margo, I'm here with you.
Oh, thank goodness, Lamont.
You made those wretches attack Freeman. He had to let me go.
Hurry, let's go to the plane. The pilot's out there now.
Another minute or two with his arms strangling me, and I'd been finished. I'm afraid I rather overestimated my strength against the strength of a monster. His arms were like bands of steel.
The pilot's ready to take off.
Into the plane, quickly.
Are you in, Shadow?
Yes, I'm with you. All right, pilot, take off.
But what about the old people?
More merciful that they perish, Margo. It's better that the poor wretches be removed as a scourge from the earth.
Okay, here we go. None too soon, either.
Just in time, Freeman and his fantastic empire are ended by his own devices, destroyed by the creatures of his own fiendish creation. The creatures he had devised to satisfy his own egotistical hatred. While the South American Air Service is safe once again.
You have been listening to a dramatized version of one of the many copyrighted stories which appear in the Shadow magazine, now on sale at your local newsstand.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
All the characters and all the places named are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
From June 26, 1938, The Shadow and the Old People. Now we're ready for our second program. Some more spooky, scary things in the air. Inner Sanctum with your hosts Raymond and Mary pitching the tea, I guess, the tea and the soup. So we're going to have a program called Song of the Slasher. This is from 1945.
Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup present Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. This is your host, Raymond, the gay ghoul. Friends, would you like to fly through the air with the greatest of ease? Do you think you'd enjoy being invisible, huh? Oh, it's easy. All you have to do is become a ghost. And to become a ghost, all you have to do is accentuate the ectoplasm and eliminate the protoplasm. Man! If that doesn't work, we'll introduce you to one of the characters on our show. He'll take care of you.
And that's the truth. What awful people on this show. Wherever do you find them, Mr. Raymond?
Well, it's simple. All you have to do is turn over a rock and out they come crawling.
And just suppose you were looking for decent people. How would you find them?
Oh, well, now, Mary, you were the one who showed me how I'd just go snooping around houses and peering into windows. And I'd find all the nice people drinking Lipton tea.
Oh, dear, there you go making fun again. You know, maybe if you drank Lipton tea, you wouldn't be such a bitter, unhappy person. Yes, there's something so warming and cheerful about Lipton. I guess that's why lots of folks drink it not only at mealtimes, but between meals, or whenever they get a chance to sit down and enjoy Lipton's famous brisk flavor. Mm-hmm. That word brisk, B-R-I-S-K, explains a lot when it comes to tea flavor. Brisk means that Lipton tea always tastes tangy and bracing. It's never flat or wishy-washy. That's right. You just don't know how good tea can be till you know how good Lipton's is.
All right, Mary. As long as you're in the kitchen, you'd better sharpen up a couple of knives, as our main character tonight is going to use them. The story is called Song of the Slasher. It's an original radio play by Milton Lewis and stars Arnold Moss in the role of Detective Dan Miller. Are you ready? Then gather close and listen. If you find you're getting too many chills and just sit in the fire. A thick, murky fog hangs like a damp veil over the waterfront. Streets are deserted. The buildings loom like tombstones in a cemetery. No living soul can be seen, because people who sense stay behind locked doors. The slasher has murdered and mutilated his fifth victim in 8 days. In a drab, lonely little room, a young woman suddenly looks up when she hears a door close.
Well? Well, what's the matter? Can't you speak? Hey, you, get away from me. Get back up. That knife. What are you doing with that knife? You're a slasher. Help! Help me, someone! It's a slasher! Help!
Hello, police headquarters.
Hello? It's the slasher.
What are you talking about?
He's here. 12 Dock Street. He's upstairs. Mr. Nell's apartment. I can hear it screaming now. He's with her. I go upward. I'm an old man. It's the slasher. He's killing her.
Hello?
Is that you, Miller?
Speaking.
This is Captain Quinn, headquarters. Here's the chance you've been waiting for. The slash is at 12 Dock Street, right around the corner from you.
On my way, Captain. Bye. And that's how it started. A detective is asked to do some queer things in the line of duty. I didn't mind moving down to the dump at the waterfront with my wife if it would help catch the slasher. So when I got the call, I rushed out of my joint and beat it down to 12 Dock Street.
Oh.
Where is he? Where'd he go?
He... Listen, I...
Don't do that. I get your doctor. I... Listen to me, sister.
Donnell, her name is. Are they going to send an ambulance?
Yeah, but it won't do her no good.
You were too late.
Did you see the guy who did it?
I saw nobody.
He can't be far. He was here a minute ago.
I heard someone go out the back way.
When?
A minute ago. Listen.
It's coming from that alley down there. Fog's so thick you can't see 2 feet ahead of you.
The back way goes into the alley.
Well, then it's him.
The slasher.
Got down to the alley, the radio cars and the men from the precinct were coming. We went through that neighborhood with a sieve. But we couldn't find the guy who whistled that queer tune.
Is that you, Danny?
Yeah.
Oh. What happened?
Well, you shouldn't have got out of bed, baby.
I was worried.
He got away.
Did he kill another?
Yeah, another dame. It wasn't so foggy I could have seen him. That's how close it was.
Any clues?
No, nothing to speak of. Hey, look, baby, don't you worry about this. You go back and get some sleep.
I'm frightened, Danny. That man is somewhere in this neighborhood and us living here.
I shouldn't have brought you down here. You're going back to our old place tomorrow.
No, I'm not. I don't want you here alone, and I want to stay with you.
Shut up.
Danny.
Listen. You hear that, don't you? That ain't something I'm hearing in my head, is it?
Danny, what are you...
Answer me. I want to make sure I ain't hearing
well,
things.
Well, of course I hear it. It's someone whistling, but why are you acting like this?
The slasher whistles that tune.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I heard him tonight.
Then the killer... The slasher must be somewhere around here.
I'm going out, baby. Lock the door. The whistling was somewhere in the building. I listened. Where was it coming from? It was gone. I looked at my watch. 4:30 in the morning. I walked down the stairs listening for the whistle. I walked on my toes. Listened at the other flats. I didn't hear a thing. I went down into the cellar. There was someone there, all right.
Oh, who's there?
It was Sykes, a janitor. I came closer.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Miller.
Yeah, Mr. Sykes. Hey, what's the matter? You're shaking like you got a fever.
You frightened me.
Why?
I thought you were the slasher.
Yeah?
He's around here, you know. He might be hiding in these shadows. He might be anywhere. Everybody's afraid of him. Everybody.
Yeah, so I hear. What time did you come down here?
4:30, like I do every morning. Why?
See any stranger in the building?
No, I didn't see anyone.
Who lives in the flat below us?
Mr. Trevelyan. Reginald Trevelyan.
Funny name.
He's a funny fella. Never sleeps at night. Wanders around the building whistling to himself.
Whistling to himself?
Yeah. He writes music or something. He got a piano in his place today. He talks crazy sometimes.
Think he's up there now?
Yeah, he never sleeps.
Here.
$20?
Yeah, it's for you.
Why are you giving this to me?
I want you to tell me when Mr. Trevelyan leaves his apartment. Do you get it?
Yeah, but why?
I ain't paying you $20 to ask questions.
Who's there?
Miller. Mr. Miller.
Yes? What is it, Mr. Miller?
My wife and I live upstairs. I know it's kind of late, but, can I come in here for a minute?
Of course.
Hope I'm not disturbing you.
No, it's quite all right. You the people who moved in a few days ago?
That's right.
Glad to know you. My name is Reginald Trevelyan.
Dan Miller's mine. You been up all night?
Yes. Why do you ask?
Because maybe you can help me. Someone tried to break into our place at about 4:30 this morning.
Really? Mr. Miller, you think your wife would be very annoyed if I play the piano now?
No. No, I don't think so. She likes music.
Does she? Seemed like a charming girl. I noticed her when you first moved in. You're very lucky to have such an attractive wife.
You whistle yourself like that very often?
Yes. Especially when I'm working on a new composition. Wait a moment. I think I have it. I've been trying to work out that passage all night. Mr. Miller, please get out of here. I want to be alone.
You're a queer, you are.
I'm not interested in your opinion. Well, what are you waiting for? Get out of here! Get out or I'll blow you out!
Try it!
I've lost it!
What? What?
That passage! You see what you've done? I had it a minute ago, and now it's gone! Gone! It's how it's been lately. I keep forgetting things. I'm sorry if I was rude to you. I didn't mean to be. Mr. Miller.
Good night.
Mr. Miller. Is it really true what it says in the papers about the slasher? That he has the whole neighborhood trembling in terror?
Yes.
Lovely. Trembling for their miserable little lives. Worried about their dirty little souls. Shivering in fear in their ugly little rat holes. If I knew who the slasher was, I'd embrace him. And give him every penny I have.
Why?
Because I hate them. Because they laugh at me. Because...
headquarters told them to check on Trevelyan. Oh, he was a queer one, all right. So queer, I didn't tell Laura about him. I didn't want to scare her. Couldn't arrest him. I didn't have anything on him yet. I lay down to rest. Maybe I heard it in my dream. Maybe not. But I heard that whistling again. That same tune. I think that's what woke me. I looked around. Laura. She was gone. And the door was open.
Daddy! Daddy, help! Help!
I rushed out. The hall was filled with thick fog. In the yellow light, I saw a crumpled heap on the floor. I recognized Laura's bathrobe.
That's my boy. He's not the type of low character who goes around murdering his friends and relatives. No, he's so big-hearted he murders anyone. Even people he was never introduced to. He's no snob.
Snob? He's much worse than a snob. He's a lunatic.
Oh, Mary, you're so unsympathetic. He's just lonely. He wants to get close to people with a knife.
Well, if he's so lonely, then why does he go around cutting people? You see, Mr. Raymond, I can say the same kind of things you do.
Don't you dare just be your sweet, practical self, or else...
You can't frighten me, Mr. Raymond. But as a matter of fact, I do have something practical to say. I'm going to suggest that all the folks who drink Lipton tea should buy the larger, more economical-sized packages. Not only because they're thriftier, but for another reason. You see, if you have a large package of Liptons at home, then you're not likely to run out just when you need it. For instance, when folks happen to drop in unexpectedly some evening. And of course, Lipton's is a grand drink to serve your guests. It goes so well with cake or sandwiches. It just seems to make everything taste better. So, folks, be sure to have a good supply of that brisk Lipton tea on hand.
Yeah, do that. And while you're at it, be sure to have an extra hand on hand, because the slasher may want to collect one for a souvenir. Well, we've kept the blood from flowing long enough. On with the murders. Listen as we hear Arnold Moss as Dan Miller finish that story.
Laura was alive in a dead faint. I scooped her up in my arms and rushed her back to our flat. She opened her eyes a few minutes later.
Dan.
You're okay, baby.
He was going to kill me.
Yeah, yeah. Drink some of this.
Thanks. Oh, Danny, it was awful.
What happened?
Well, you were asleep. I went out to get the milk, and I heard someone whistling.
Do you remember what?
That same queer melody we heard before, the one the slasher whistled. So I thought I'd help you.
Help me?
I thought I'd see him. I walked quietly down the hall, and there was no one there. Then I turned the corner.
Yeah?
I saw the knife gleam. Someone was hiding in the shadows. He grabbed my neck, and I screamed. I screamed, Annie. I screamed so I thought I'd burst my throat, and then it all went flat.
Did you see him?
No, but I felt his hands on my throat. They were strong hands, fingers like steel, and I... Danny, I'm sorry. I can't even talk about it.
Now, lie down, lie down. You'll be all right.
But when you think that he's right here, maybe living in this building...
Well, he won't be here long. I'm calling headquarters.
You know who he is.
I got a good idea. Now, just let me get on that phone and...
Oh, Danny, maybe that's him.
Take it easy, kid. Who's there? It's just a janitor, baby.
Oh.
What do you want?
He went out.
Trevelyan?
Yeah.
Okay. Laura, get dressed. I want to get you out of here before the trouble starts. I'll be gone for a few minutes.
Where are you going?
With Mr. Sykes. You got a key, Sykes?
Yeah, but I'll have to go along with you. You can't take anything.
You know what this badge means?
You a detective?
Yeah. Now, let's go.
What are you doing here? Looking for the slasher?
I'll write you a book about it, pal. Now, here's his joints. Open the door.
All right. But you'll have to hurry. He may come back any minute.
All I want is enough evidence. I'll take care of him when we get it.
The door's open. Come on in.
It was 8 in the morning. But it could have been 8 at night. The fog was so thick. I knew this was it. I couldn't take any chances. I had to get all the evidence on him before I nabbed him. And I had to get it without him being wise.
What are you looking for?
Knives. We know he's got at least 3.
I don't see none.
Neither do I. Maybe it's a bum steer. I could be wrong. Hey, what's this? Music.
He's always writing it.
I used to be a choir boy once. They taught me how to read them notes. I wonder if I still can.
Why?
Because I think this may be a tune I'm looking for. Let me see.
That song.
Did you ever hear it before?
Yeah.
Bet you did. He's always whistling it. I heard it myself when he killed the last one. Gotta find those knives.
You better hurry. I think he just went out to get some breakfast.
I looked everywhere. Couldn't find the knives. I couldn't bring a guy in just because I heard a song. I found a bunch of keys. They were trunk keys. But there was no trunk.
I think I hear him coming.
Never mind what you think. Where does he keep his trunk?
In the storeroom in the cellar. He's always going down there for things.
Hold it.
That's him.
Yeah. Come here. There's room behind this upright piano for both of us.
But if he's the... Shut up.
Get behind here and hurry. He sat down at the piano and played a queer arrangement of the same tune that led me to him. I reached for my gun just in case. Suddenly, I felt the sweat ooze out of me. It was sweat that felt like ice. I didn't have my gun. I remembered I took it off when I laid down to rest.
Get it right.
He's going out again. Come on, Sykes.
I told you to hurry before.
I hear him going down those stairs. It's safe to go now.
All right, Sykes, we're going to open that trunk in the store.
Here's his trunk, Mr. Miller.
This key should open it.
The knives?
Yeah. The knives. Look at them, look at them. Covered with blood.
Gee.
Sykes, go to the police precinct. Tell them Miller sent you. Tell them to come over here with as many men as they can spare.
All right. All right.
I took the knives and put them under my coat. Went up to my room.
Yes, I'm leaving. I'll be home soon.
I could hear Laura talking on the phone to someone. I opened the door.
Oh, of course. I better hang up now. Danny just came in. Goodbye, darling.
Who are you talking to?
Mother, I'm ready to go.
Oh, wait a minute. There's no rush.
Listen, Danny. It's that man at the piano. Sounds like the Slasher song.
Yeah.
What have you got there?
My gun. Come on, baby. We're going.
That man playing the piano. Are you sure he's a Slasher?
Yeah. Positive.
Oh, Danny, you're hurting my arm.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm nervous. That's his place. Come on in with me.
Come in with you?
Yeah. I figured out a way to trap him.
But Danny,
don't be scared, baby. You'll be okay.
Oh. You?
Yeah, Mr. Trevelyan. I'd like you to meet my wife.
I'm delighted.
How do you do?
Would you like to hear something? It's a composition I've just completed. I've had a great deal of trouble with it, but I think I've got it right now.
Oh, are you? That gun.
Yeah, you got it coming to you, Slasher.
You stupid swine. You idiot. Why did you give me a chance? My music, not even written down.
Danny, you murdered him.
Yeah.
Why?
You'll find out.
What are you going to do with that knife?
It's one of his knives. Stand still, Laura.
Danny, do me.
In a minute.
Danny, what's the matter
you
with you?
You got it coming to you, too.
Danny!
I know who you were talking to on that phone. It wasn't your old lady.
What?
It was Jerry Boyd, that guy who lives next door, wasn't it? Answer me, wasn't it?
No!
Lie to me!
So this is why you made me come down here with you. You planned this all along.
That's right, baby. And that's why I had you insured for 40 grand.
Oh.
You made one bad mistake. You married a smart cookie.
You're going to kill me and blame it on the Slasher.
Yeah.
No! Help me, someone! Help me! Daddy! Don't! Oh.
When it was over, I wiped the knife clean of fingerprints. And then I smeared Trevelyan's hand over the handle. I knew what to do. Made it look good, made it look perfect. There's a way to get away with murder. And I found it. I thought.
Go on with the report, Noah.
Well, Captain Quinney, after I sent Sykes to the precinct, I went upstairs for my gun. My wife wasn't there, and got the gun, and I heard a scream. I rushed to his place. I opened the door. I saw Laura. The second I thought I'd pass out.
Yeah?
He grabbed a knife and come at me, and I shot him and killed him. Oh, Laura.
She was insured for $40,000, wasn't she?
Yeah. What difference does that make now?
A lot of difference, Miller. I want you to meet someone. Come in, Sykes.
Yes, Captain.
Did you hear Detective Miller's report clearly?
Yes, sir.
Was he telling the truth?
No. He lied.
What are you talking about?
I didn't go to the police when you told me. I hid in the cellar. I saw you go upstairs. I saw you get your wife and go to Trevelyan's place. I listened at the door. I heard you shoot Trevelyan and then murder your wife.
Captain, the man's insane.
Yes, Miller. A homicidal maniac. I'll take away his coat.
You see? He's handcuffed.
I don't get it.
He's the slasher.
He? It's impossible. I told you about that melody. Why, it's still on Trevelyan's piano.
Trevelyan copying down that melody after he heard Sykes whistle it. Yeah. I whistled the whole thing for him.
But the knives I found in Trevelyan's trunk.
I put them there. I knew who you were. Sykes was trying to frame Trevelyan. He's made a complete confession, Miller.
But how did you find out
When you asked us to check on Trevelyan, we discovered that he's quite a famous, if eccentric, composer. I checked up on the other people in the building at the same time. I found out that Sykes escaped from the State Institute for the Insane 2 years ago. He's confessed.
Yeah. I'm the slasher. Why should Trevelyan become famous for what I'd done?
You had a perfect crime all figured out, Miller. But you made one little mistake. You decided the wrong person was the slasher. Even a copper can't pull a perfect one, Miller.
So I'm telling you all this because in 10 minutes I won't be able to tell nobody anything. Ever since I made my report, I've been hearing that song in my head. Like somebody whistling it. Soon I won't hear that either. It's a nice tune. Kind of sad.
Story is never quarrel with your wife. Avoid strife. If that doesn't work, get a carving knife. Now, there's the perfect formula for domestic bliss. Don't you think so, Mary?
I do not.
Oh, well, then I'll give you another one. You'll love this one. Beat her till she's black and blue. Break her arms and legs in two. Then tell her to brew a cup of Lipton tea for you.
Oh, I give up. All I can hope is that folks don't pay any attention to all these peculiar things you say about Lipton. And I guess they don't. The proof is that more people drink Lipton tea than any other brand. But if any of you folks haven't tried Lipton, then why don't you do so now before Mr. Raymond says a word more about it? Why not let that famous brisk flavor speak for itself?
Well, now, if you weren't too caught up by tonight's story, let me tell you about next week's gory little tale. It's about a beautiful woman who holds your hand, tells you about the future. Of course, she's kind of pessimistic. She sees a man with a knife stuck in his throat, the girl waving gaily from the gallows. And listen to this. Our star will be the glamorous motion picture actress, Wendy Berry. Let's make it a day, huh? Oh, by the way, this month's Inner Sanctum mystery novel is The Lucky Stiff by Craig Wright. And now I guess it's really time to close that squeaking door until next week at the same time when Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup bring you another Inner Sanctum mystery directed by Hyman Brown. So until then... Good night. Pleasant dream time.
Folks, if you'd like to try a modern food with a real old-fashioned flavor, then try Lipton's Noodle Soup. You see, Lipton's comes in an envelope, and all you have to do is empty the contents into boiling water, and in no time at all, soup's on. And what a delicious, chicken-y-tasting soup it is. It really tastes homemade, and it's brimming with golden, tender egg noodles. Lipton's is economical, too. It costs less and makes more than canned soups. So, folks, don't forget to try Lipton's Noodle Soup. And don't forget to tune in next Tuesday night for another Inner Sanctum Mystery.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Well, that's all we have time for this week. I hope you can join us next week with more old-time radio on the way for you. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.